Welcome to Classy Ring Attire. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to class up wrestling.
Let's do it.
Because, well, I don't know. I try and think of something clever to say, but this is like such a meh week for me.
I can tell you sound so tired.
This was the first week where I was like, at about 10 o'clock, I was like, well, that's all the wrestling I have to sit through, right? What?
Yeah.
Another hour?
Yeah. Honestly,
well,
it would have been a lot worse for me if I didn't have people over, you know, kind of cranking out the jokes and all that stuff. It helped. But if I was sitting here watching like usual, just on my own, I would have been dead asleep around, probably about 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
It was bad.
And it wasn't a terrible episode.
Yeah.
Like, that's the real concern. Like, I think they could have pulled out a just below average 2-hour episode out of this material.
Yeah, it was a solid episode. Until you got to the ending, to be honest with you.
Like, it wasn't great. It was cool to see Shawn Michaels again, though.
It was cool, yeah, and, you know, we all like DX and all, but we like Shawn Michaels on his own a little bit more, you know?
Really?
I do. That's
no, I know you do. I like DX. DX is more fun than Shawn Michaels.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a good change-up from serious Shawn Michaels and serious Triple H. You throw those two together, it's fun. It's a good change of pace for their run. Yeah.
I mean, sticking the DX reunion right in the middle of serious face Triple H being sued and fighting for his family.
Seems
a little weird.
Seems a little bit odd, but yeah.
But, you know, I would probably pick DX over individuals.
Whatever, Joe. You don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, I'm just not. But the thing is, I get this feeling, I guess I don't want to speak for you, that next week's going to suck. Because it's the go-home episode. And, like,
Go-home episodes have been pretty terrible.
This felt like a go-home episode. Like, that's the thing. Is like, it feels like everything that needs to be established for SummerSlam has pretty much been established.
All the big stuff, yeah. And it seems like, yeah, I guess you're right. It seems like there shouldn't be anything after this other than SummerSlam itself, but we have a whole other 3-hour episode.
Yes.
So they better have something up their sleeve, because, it's going to be a rough one. I know that's, I'm basically just saying the same thing you just did. There's no real eloquent point to be made about it. It's just, it's going to be rough.
It is. I'm in dreading mode.
I don't know. A little bit of me kind of is holding on to some kind of hope that they're going to be able to pull something off, because they do like to make SummerSlam a huge deal. Maybe they've got something up their sleeve. I don't know.
I don't think so. I don't think they're going to risk upstaging Triple H and Brock Lesnar. I think that's their big draw.
Really? You think they're going to have that over? I guess you're right, because they've been teasing this for months.
Yeah.
I guess so, yeah.
This is the one time I'm okay with that, because I think it can feed into the story of CM Punk not being respected. Like, I think you can build something out here. Like, you have, I mean, you even like, you kick off a little backstage segment where, you know, like, Triple H is like, I'm sorry, Punk, but this is bigger than the belt. This is for the company, blah, 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 you know, something. Whatever.
Right.
And then if you're going, like, it feels like they're doing this really non-committal heel turn for Punk.
They really do. It just seems, here's how I think it could happen. Triple H and Brock ending the show is probably a huge possibility. If not, just, you know, it's going to happen. Last few weeks, you know, Punk has really been driving home the the notion that the champ needs to close out the show, every show, whatever. And he's done that. Well, he tried to do it last week, but we'll go into what happened later on. But I feel like he's going to inject himself into this Triple H Lesnar thing.
Right.
Assuming he wins the belt before that. And, I mean, who knows? I could set up a Punk and Lesnar for Survivor Series. I don't know what they've got planned for Lesnar past this. But who knows?
I mean, I'm assuming two more appearances. I'm assuming Survivor Series and then WrestleMania.
Yeah, I can say, we can all safely assume that Lesnar is going to complete like the big four.
Well, you don't need him at Royal Rumble this year because you have The Rock.
Well, yeah, you're right. Never mind.
I mean, I don't know who how many people out there are like, The Rock, you don't have my... Brock Lesnar's fighting. Well, let me just throw down my money.
Well, I mean, if they want to keep Lesnar somewhat relevant between Survivor Series and WrestleMania, don't you think he has to have something? I don't know what, but maybe a surprise appearance or something. I don't know.
I don't know. I am really hoping for a Lesnar win at SummerSlam.
You would think you would have to, right?
Well, you can't, like, if you bring him on,
yeah, if you want to keep
and
him
have
on,
him lose every match for a year, whatever happens at WrestleMania,
like, who do they think he is? Chris Jericho? Like, Jericho can handle that kind of stuff. I don't think Lesnar can. And us to believe he's some sort of unstoppable machine. Like,
especially not to disappear off of TV for months at a time, which which they agreed for him to do.
Right. Absolutely.
So, I don't know. It's a thing where I really think he needs to win. I would if they want to commit to Punk as a heel. I would have Punk interrupt the match on behalf of Lesnar. Either having won the belt or having lost the belt. I don't think it matters. I think have Punk interrupt because he's like, SummerSlam should end with the champion standing high holding the belt.
Right.
And so this is how to do it. Then you get CM Punk and Paul Heyman because of his "I'm a Paul Heyman guy," remark.
Yeah, there's that. And whenever Paul Heyman first came back, the company purposely had it leaked through CM Punk's Twitter account that Paul Heyman was in the building.
Right.
Which we got to see. Just wanted to throw that out there again. Like, that happened in Greensboro. Me and Joel, we were the first ones. Well, not the first, but, whatever. We saw him in the flesh before most people did, so, screw off.
We saw his return appearance.
Oh.
And we were the first ones. And our whole row was so? Like, Paul Heyman!
Yeah, me and Joel were the only ones in our group that knew who he was. But the thing was, we were in, the furthest corner away from the ramp. And we were just like, who's that guy? Who's that guy? No, that can't be Paul Heyman. No. He's coming down the ramp. Holy crap, that's Paul Heyman. Holy crap, Joel, that's Paul Heyman. And by that time, Joel's like, that's Paul Heyman!
Well, if you'll recollect, that was, the first time that Brock didn't appear.
Yeah, that was the first time Brock's music hit and Brock didn't come out himself.
And so, we were in the weeks coming up to it, we were we kind of knew how the story arc's going. I'm like, oh, I bet we miss him by 1 week.
Yeah.
And so, I was excited when his music hit because I thought it was going to be Lesnar. And then, this not Lesnar guy came out, I was like, that's not... But wait a minute. Could that can't be Paul Heyman.
I'm much more excited that it was Paul Heyman than that it was Parkport.
It's the greatest of consolation prizes. So I'm quite content with that. With the way things have worked. No, this even this past week, when Brock comes out, I'm like, yay, Brock. Paul Heyman's standing behind him.
And I know quite a few people's probably made this point in the past. Is there anyone who can say Brock Lesnar's name better than Paul Heyman?
No.
Exactly.
I told you. I don't remember.
It sounds like a million bucks coming from him, but it sounds terrible from anyone else.
I don't remember if I spoke about this on the podcast, but my brother was watching with me at one point. I'm like,
yeah,
I was excited about Paul Heyman. He's like, why? I'm like, he's a good talker. And my brother's like, so? And then so? He's like, no. Brock Lesnar. And my brother's like, oh, that was really good. I was like, I know, right? That's how you say a name. So, although I do want to point out, and I'm sure you noticed this too, this past week when Brock took the mic away from Paul,
yeah,
mid promo,
we did one of our infamous Paul. Double tweeting on Class of Retire. sometimes it's hard to tell, but there's times where both me and Joel are both on our Twitter account at the same time in two completely different places. That point in time, me and you were on the same page, literally and figuratively.
That's exactly how I feel, Paul.
As soon as Lesnar swiped the microphone out of Paul Heyman's hands, the hand that was holding the mic went from down here toward, or, you know, in front of him.
Holding position.
And then it just went, the hand opened and hit his face. Like, he instantly face-palmed himself as soon as Lesnar started talking on the mic. And all of us felt the exact same way.
Exactly. I let out an audible, like, don't do that! And here's the thing. If you have a limited number of Brock Lesnar appearances, why would you book him to not fight? Why would you ever bring him on to talk? Especially when you're already paying Paul Heyman. Like, what was the point of using up one of his appearances this week?
I mean, you know, it's getting closer, for one. And two, this is, you know, they did the big reveal of Shawn Michaels being in Triple H's corner at SummerSlam.
But did Brock add anything to that? Like, Paul could have handled that.
He did the whole thing where he was, I think he was pointing at Shawn, where he's like, he pointed at Triple H, I'll see you at SummerSlam. Pointed at Shawn Michaels, he's like, I'll see you before that, or something like that. I was still convinced he was pointing at the completely wrong person. But that's another point.
I did hear that, and I don't know if that's gonna mean anything.
If it's gonna mean anything, it's gonna mean something next week, obviously.
But that's all they have left. I'm sure that Brock Lesnar is never showing up on SmackDown.
Unless Lesnar, you know, goes to San Antonio and causes a quote-unquote hunting accident with Shawn Michaels. Who knows? That, you know, Bork likes hunting too, so who knows?
No.
I don't know why I know that.
Why do you know that? How do you possibly know that? You know what my complete extent of Brock Lesnar knowledge about his interests? Swords. I bet he likes swords. That's it.
Yeah, no one knows.
And hopefully Jimmy John's.
Hopefully Jimmy John's. You know, not a whole lot of people know this, but Rikishi's really into ballroom dancing.
Really?
No, I'm messing with you.
I was like, why do you possibly know that? I know CM Punk likes comic books.
Well, that's obvious.
I think that's the extent of my knowledge about their, like, genuine, personal, out-of-character interests.
I have no idea.
I assume Cena likes rap.
It's one of those things where it's like, I don't know where I heard that about Brock Lesnar, but I don't understand how I remembered that either. I don't know. It's just the vat of knowledge that I have just mixed in there with other junk.
Chris, I have a question for you.
Joel, I might have an answer for you.
Did you tweet CM Punk and Rey Mysterio should fight? Because I didn't tweet CM Punk and Rey Mysterio should fight.
No.
I can't think of any... I look around. I could not see anybody tweeting Punk Mysterio.
The first thing that I tweeted was anyone but Mysterio. Or no, I put anyone but Rey. Then I said something else. I said Punk Kid.
Punk Kid. I did a whole tweet of just Punk Cabanas.
I saw that.
And then I threw out a Punk Batman.
I didn't see that one. That would have been good, too.
So, but... As I was watching my trending feed, Punk Miz popped up on that. I'm wondering how Punk Miz was trending, but Punk Mysterio was not. But that, according to WWE stats, But Mysterio blew them away.
Apparently everyone wanted to see a slow, out-of-shape Rey Mysterio.
Oh, man. I don't know. I am, like, I really enjoyed Punk Mysterio a couple years ago.
Yes. Yes. When they had that whole thing leading up to WrestleMania. The WrestleMania match was really good. I'll admit that. You know, I know I give Mysterio a lot of grief over completely sucking and being everything that's terrible with this company. You know, the lighthearted stuff. but I can admit that his run with CM Punk was really good. I think shortly thereafter, Mysterio had a thing against Jericho. That was really good. But other than that, it's just been terrible, and it's just, he's not on his game right now. And call it ring rust, I say he's, I don't know, maybe his best days are obviously behind him.
I mean, I think he's in the second half of his career. Like, I think
that's second half heading of his career was 3-4 years ago.
Well, I'm saying he's clearly beyond the halfway point. Like, he's closer to retiring than starting, but I don't know. I feel like, I don't want to say he lacks a good feud, because, like, I've never felt that Rey did a great job carrying a feud, but he lacks somebody that he works in the ring really well with.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's one of my beefs with Mysterio, is that as far as building up a feud with mic work or anything like that, he's very bland. He's very, you know, I'm the good guy, just boring to me.
Every complaint I've heard about John Cena face, I could also throw onto Rey Mysterio.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Except Cena's a little bit better on the mic.
Well, but like I said, there's parts of Cena I find really entertaining. Like, there's, you know, the over-the-top silly, the self-deprecation. I don't mind that. And so, anything positive I would take from John Cena face, I don't see in Rey Mysterio. So, yeah. I really like Rey Mysterio at the very beginning, when I didn't know the 619 happened, like, 4 times a match.
Right.
I'm like, oh, that impossible once-in-a-lifetime setup is your standard finisher? All right. Yes.
Yeah, basically.
But anyway, yes, the big kicker this week was that the 3 members of the Triple Threat all would face somebody.
Yes.
And so Punk was with Mysterio. I'm really glad, though, that it was a nice, clean win, no questions.
Yeah, and that kind of, if Punk is a heel now, which this week he seemed a lot more heel. I was glad that it was a clean finish, which is probably the only, or at least one of the very few clean heel wins in a long time. So, I mean, I'm glad for it.
Well, if they're taking Punk full heel, I don't want him to turn into, like, the coward heel or the, you know. I think you can do a I'm the best in the world heel as good as, you know, I'm the best in the world face.
Yeah, like Jericho.
Yeah. So, there's no reason to start booking him as that.
No, yeah.
So, but anyway, Big Show faced Randy Orton
don't
in a match where they competed to waste our time.
Basically.
Everybody lost.
Just, and I know it wasn't just me, because I was watching this with 3 other friends. At one point during the match, at least once, every person commented on just how much Big Show was drooling that episode. like a freaking Saint Bernard just globs of it. That's the sound. That is the sound of drooling.
It's suspiciously similar to the sound of John Cena and Eve.
No, that's more of a throaty. That's a. There you go.
There's a lot more back and forth on the tongue, but Big Show has more of a like.
Yes, there's always a lot more back and forth with the tongue.
You know what I mean. I stand by it.
Kids, Uncle Joel just, you know, started the beginning of a birds and the bees talk. So gather around.
Gather all ye. And our third match was Daniel Bryan versus John Cena.
Which was actually not bad. You know, I mean, it's Daniel Bryan match, for one.
Daniel Bryan match. This match, though, I really, like, I felt like a good example of, like, at the, you know, not after 3 hours of wrestling, I would have been really into this match.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is a very big, like...
Especially considering the past, like when Daniel Bryan got his first, like, original, WWE trial run, when he was still Bryan Danielson. Mm-hmm. You know, he had a match against John Cena, and that goes on... It's on the internet all over the place. And it's a big talking point for a lot of internet people, such as you and I. So it was interesting to see that for the first time, basically, since then. And that was, 2003? Maybe?
Is it that far long ago? It couldn't have been that long ago.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Man, it was very, very young Bryan Danielson.
Yeah. But this match is taken into this is where Punk comes back out. I really like that Punk used the headset microphone.
And talk,
and talk, like, specifically to Lawler. I'm like, you know, every time he's like, I'm like, still a face to me, yelling at Lawler.
Yeah.
Good for you. I'm cheering for you.
Absolutely. It was one of those things where it was a great moment. He made perfect sense to everything that we've been saying for a while. And it just felt like it kind of got the legs swept out from under it by what happened swept.
Thank you. Whatever. Yeah. That's the thing is, like, I don't know, you know, I don't know how long of a leash CM Punk has right now.
Right.
But it does feel like, you know, there's a little bit of, like, you get to say what the real problems are, CM Punk.
Right.
Because a lot of what he says has been cited elsewhere on the internet.
And I mean, his whole thing right now is completely internet-based. With the whole, you know, the champ needs to be the last person on the bill.
Right. But it ends with Big Show punching everybody in the face and standing victorious over it. I accept this ending on one condition. If next week ends with Show and Punk down and John Cena standing over him, then the past 3 weeks have been
each
of the guys.
Yeah, and that thought came to me. It's just, it felt different with the Punk promo just before that, you know?
Yeah.
I do
agree. It feels like it's undermining Punk, which, even if you're making him a heel, he's then your top heel. And he is one of, if not your top wrestler.
Yeah.
And he's still getting cheers. They might not be able to turn him heel.
They might not.
We might just not care. And they can't go to Chicago with him a heel. Chicago will cheer.
Was the case when he was a full-fledged heel. He still got plenty of cheers. Yeah. I mean, there weren't as loud as, you know, Money in the Bank 2011, but there were still, you know, a lot more cheers than he was used to getting at that point. The only thing that worries me with that is that we're going to get selectively deaf Jerry Lawler. He was one of them this week. I think it was yesterday. I can't remember, but basically it was just like, oh, they're not cheering that. They wouldn't cheer for that at all. And they were cheering it right behind them, like the whole every time someone cheers for Ziggler, he's like he yells at Vic. He's like, no one's cheering. Let's go, Ziggler.
I know.
They're saying, yes. Let's go, Sheamus, and there's no one yelling Sheamus.
Not a soul in the crowd.
Not a soul. Not even Sheamus' own mother is chanting for Sheamus.
Oh, there was a kid this week on Raw. I have to point out, if you ever, I don't know, it's not worth it to go back and look for him, but he entertained me greatly, because he was totally invested in every match. He was like front row.
Yeah.
And he had like a CM Punk shirt on and a Santino Cobra sock. And he was totally invested in every match. He was awesome.
Was it as entertaining as Cena guy at WrestleMania?
No, it's no Green Shirt Cena. Green Shirt Cena is my all-time favorite fan.
That guy. After
Miz Girl.
That guy. So. Front and center for all 4 hours of WrestleMania. And then front and center the next night, almost in the exact same position. Dear God, did he win some sort of contest to be there or something? Or he's just...
I don't know. I gotta look for him every time we go to Florida.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, where's that? And like, my other favorite fan is the Lesnar super fan.
He shows up a lot. Yeah, and he always seems to know when the cameras are going to be on him. The guy. Yeah,
well, I've read an interview with him, and he's apparently just like literally just a fan who whatever his job is, like it affords him to.
Travel.
Get to travel, and he, you know, gets to go to several shows a year and sit close enough that, like, the camera guys recognize him, and so they know if Lesnar's about to come out, we better start filming Lesnar Superfan.
But his infamous, you know, doing the Lesnar move thing, that was the night after WrestleMania.
Yeah, but we knew Lesnar was coming out. Do you not remember?
Yeah, no.
Like, do you not remember the crowd ruining the moment?
Chanting for Lesnar while Cena was making a heartfelt moment. Yeah, I remember that. The one time the Miami fans were just like, shut up. Up until that point, Miami fans were fantastic. But
yeah. That's the thing is like, oh, that was such a good crowd otherwise. And then
I really need to go back and watch that.
Like, and that was the thing is because you remember we were with people who didn't know who Lesnar was.
Yeah.
And like, it was going to be a big deal. And then they're like, Lesnar? They don't mean Brock Lesnar. Like, MMA fighter? And I was like, yes.
Yeah, the MMA fighter.
Surprise ruined.
Yeah. But yeah, that Miami crowd kind of put pressure. Like we went to our Raw episode that we were at. And it was, what, 2 months later?
Yeah, it was.
And it was one of those things where, like, I thought our crowd was fantastic, and then, you know, I was getting tweets and messages like, "Dear God, you guys are dead," and I'm like, "I promise, me and Joel are cheering for Paul Heyman. I promise you, and we're booing the crap out of Laurinaitis."
That's the thing is, like, I thought we did a good job, and then we get home, and like, I read everything. It's like, shame on you for not respecting Heyman. I'm like, I'm worse for respecting him. And then, like, I went back and watched the episode. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
We sucked. And that episode sucked.
Really did. It was, and also, like, same thing could be said about our signs. We were, I know I was, incredibly impressed and boastful about the signs that we made. And I was like, oh, yeah, oh, Cameron's definitely going to be on us. You know, we're going to be famous with these signs and not even close. Like,
no, I mean,
Cameron didn't come in our vicinity one time.
We were not on the right side for the like, we basically had, like, the opening sweep was our chance. And, like, as soon as that didn't happen, I was like, nope, these aren't getting on. But we made them with such loving care. We shook them anyway. So.
And that love and care was on my floor in our dining room for up until about a month ago. Now it's on my floor in my room.
Oh. Slowly making the move. Anyway, we have to talk about, obviously, the super important return that happened this week. The wrestler that made the comeback. You know who I'm talking about, don't you?
Who are you talking about?
Who big and important came back after a long absence this week?
I don't know who.
Oh, you're supposed to think I'm talking about Shawn Michaels.
Oh.
I'm going to do a bait and switch and make it be talk about Kelly Kelly.
So. Good job framing that whole presentation, Joel.
You got to understand why I'm building up to Kelly Kelly, because otherwise there's no reason to build up to Kelly Kelly.
Other than the fact that this is the only Divas match that's been on Raw since probably when Kelly Kelly left.
Probably, because ever since AJ got big, all the Divas stuff has been kind of like shoehorned into AJ and Punk and Bryan
stuff. I think the last Divas match was the big summer bikini battle royale, whatever. I think that was the last one on Raw.
That's very possible. It's also very possible that there's been lots and I just don't remember them, but...
Well, yeah, there's that, but...
I mean, that's probably... Yeah, it's actually the last one I remember. Yeah, Kelly, it's kind of a waste of time.
But yeah, you sculpted this entire plan of how you're going to bring
you're
it
supposed
up.
To think I was talking about Shawn Michaels. It was a setup.
You're trying to do a big build-up just for the old womp-womp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good anyway, job. Moving on. Damian Sandow was on. I was glad.
I was so happy with that. That was fantastic. And he made those ankle shots on the ramp look like $1 million. Oh my lord, that was fantastic.
I am ready for this gentleman to have like a serious, you know, feud, extended storyline, real matches.
Right. That might be what they're shaping things up with Brodus, but the thing is, you know, they're going to have Brodus come back bigger and better and just crush him.
I like, as long as they don't squash the whole Sandow character with it, I'm okay with, because, like, Brodus was not unimpressive when he was, you know, bodyguard for Del Rio.
No, not
like,
at all.
He moved well and stuff, and so, and it genuinely makes sense in character standpoint that, you know, the Sandow character would not care for dancing ring entrances.
For the same reason that, you know, Sandow went after Zack Ryder. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah. And I have to say, like, the novelty of the Funkasaurus is starting to wear off for me.
Yeah.
I'm
ready for something else, something more with that.
Yeah,
with him.
We've had enough squash matches. Do something or, you know, don't put them on every week.
Right. Do something or find something else.
Yeah. So, there's like, I really would like to see a chart of, like, reaction to the idea of the Funkasaurus. Because it's like this, it's just like, it starts with this, like, what? Oh man, I'm so invested.
Yeah, and then
And then now we're on a downward slope.
Speaking of things with novelty quickly fading,
Ryback,
yeah.
Yes,
Mr. Pink Eye.
It's like I knew exactly what you're talking about. So
seriously, what was up with his eye?
I don't know. Somebody had a sign with a giant eye.
Yeah,
looked messed up.
Red in it.
And I was like, did you know about this?
Well, the eye didn't look like it was completely filled in. So maybe he was like, oh, he's got a red eye. Let me draw this real quick and scribble it in. Oh, crap, I don't have time. Oh, well, this will work.
Props to you, sir, fan, if that's true. You win
tonight. No. He does not get props from me because he didn't finish it. So way to give it your almost. Yeah, you failed. You got silver in the Olympics. How's
the sheer,
that? You're the first
the
loser.
The sheer fact that he brought markers with him in case he might need to change a sign mid-show.
We did that.
I know! And we were fans of the night! For us.
True. Okay, fair enough. I'll concede.
Yes. Okay, anyway, please do something with Ryback.
This is what, like, the fifth time we've seen him go up against Curt Hawkins, Tyler Rex, like, and then together? Like, I'm done.
I know. I am amazingly
We were done, like, a month ago, but yeah.
Yeah, this is another thing. Like, I don't need these squash matches. I understand how you want me to feel about this guy. I understand that he's Goldberg. So, now do something with it.
Yeah, because, I mean, they did something with Goldberg eventually, so if you want to keep that consistent, might as well keep going.
Or just do every other week. Like, I will put up with it if you want to give him a big number, undefeated for X number of months.
Right.
But not every week.
No, not every week.
And not things where the... What's it, the ring entrance takes longer than the actual match. Only the Undertaker is allowed for that.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, although he did speak in the weirdest, like, scripted, stilted voice for his little, like, on-camera promo.
I did notice that. Yeah, I forgot. I forgot all about that. Wow. Yeah, it just sounds like a robot.
Yeah, it was weird. Anyway, I think that was Raw. Like, I don't even, the only other thing I can think that happened was Sheamus stealing a car.
I don't care about that.
I don't the end.
I don't care.
Oh, but we do have to talk about the biggest surprise of the night, which was Alex Riley was on.
Crap,
totally I totally did not expect that to happen.
Forgot all
and
of
on
that.
Top of that, he won.
He did.
Which I know was to for this other feud, but like Alex Riley won a match.
That just and, doesn't seem right.
And like when I was going through like, you know, questions to talk about, one of them was like, who would you consider most likely to be future endeavored by Christmas? And I was like, Alex Riley. And then he showed up and won a match against them. I was like, well, let me reevaluate my answer.
I still think that's a valid answer, though.
I mean, yeah, this is not turning around the Alex Riley train, but...
No, not
it's interesting. So...
I mean, there was... Primo and Epico versus... Millions of dollars.
Yes. With angry champions coming out.
With angry champions coming out, and to everyone's surprise, AEW came out with a live mic. I wasn't expecting that. I was figuring if anything we'd see him, but I didn't think we would have him on a live mic.
No. I thought no mic, he'd just come out and wave and be like, these are my guys. There they are.
It's been one of those things where it's like they're supposed to be feuding with the champions, but they've been having matches against the clones. And every time, the only thing that I come away with is like, wow, Primo and Epico look really good. Like, like last night, it was more Epico. Epico looked pretty fantastic, I thought. And then in the matches before that, Primo looked really good. So, it's one of those things where it's like, I'm not necessarily impressed with Titus O'Neil and Cena lookalike. But, and I know the purpose of it is to push those guys, not necessarily Primo and Epico.
I have grown impressed with Darren Young. Not fully impressed, but like, I have seen improvement from him from Nexus days to now. Like,
absolutely, yeah.
And he's a guy who seems to be steadily improving. I'm like, and at this rate, in a solid 6 months, you have a serious career for you.
Definitely, definitely.
But we'll see. We'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah, that's a raw. That's a raw for you. Okay. here's my question for you.
All right, let me adjust my seating arrangement so I feel like I'm thinking. Not actually thinking, but I feel like I'm thinking.
This was spawned from CM Punk's heel turn that's happened. So pick a roster member, and what's the best way to flip them? So face to heel or heel to face, ignoring John Cena, because
we've played that at any given time.
Like pick any random fan and they have the perfect booking for the Cena heel turn. Like, so ignoring that one, pick, turn somebody. What's the best way to turn somebody? And here, and while you're thinking about it, I'll go into some thoughts on. And this is really generic thoughts. Okay. I have decided things I am tired of. Tag teams breaking up.
Yes.
Via a turn.
The Shawn Michaels formula, basically.
Yeah. So it happens too much, and
yeah,
I'm tired of it. Which is why, like, I was like, I think Ziggler's half a face now because he beat up Swagger.
Right.
It's just something I don't care for anymore. And almost any betrayal story.
Yeah.
I'm not that big of a fan of because we've seen it so much. And especially because the only reason anybody has for betraying is, you know, because I'm tired of being laughed at.
Right. Yeah.
And so, and I'm making a statement. So,
I don't know if I have someone specific in mind. I mean, it's like what CM Punk has basically shown is that the best character work is something that's more organic, and it's something that you're actually, like, you know, he had a legitimate gripe about quite a few things, and he used that in his character. And so it felt credible. It felt like it had more weight to it. So I feel like when they're developing a character, when they're coming up with something, you've got, you don't have to complete, because not everyone has a gripe with everyone. Not everyone has a chip on their shoulder. You know, turning heel is a lot easier than turning face.
Oh, absolutely.
And being a credible face.
But that's because of, you can do it in one betrayal.
Right, right. All it takes is one split second, one super kick through a glass panel.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it takes for you to become a heel. But turning face, you kind of like, you have to just start smiling and waving. That's pretty much it.
Well, that's the thing. Like, you look at successful face turns, like, it's kind of a thing where you're like, oh, they're a face now. Okay.
Yeah, definitely a gradual thing. Like, especially with Randy Orton, they never really planned to turn Randy face, but he started getting more and more cheers every night.
Right. And so, even more like Sheamus was one where I was like, when did we start cheering for Sheamus? I missed that memo.
Or Kane. Kane just seems to be in this gray area of character ambiguity.
Kane is whichever they need him for.
Basically.
Which is really kind of, because he's like,
which is kind of a cool thing to have a character like that. Because at a given notice, you know, he can do something completely heel-like, and no one's really shocked. They're just like, there's that old Kane again. And we're all completely on board with it. And, you know, vice versa. You know, he can be Kane. He was doing the freaking Santino trumpet.
Right. I mean,
He's boring that way, but whatever.
Well, he's a guy, he's like, he's not been a career heel, but, like, his character is one of a heel. He's, you know, satanically born and, you know, pretty standard heel stuff. And so even when he was a face, he was, you know, kind of this heelish face to begin with.
Right.
And he's gotten to the point in his career where he's getting close to, like, the legacy cheers, the, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you're never going to turn Shawn Michaels heel.
I think that was the reaction to Kane when he came back with the mask.
Yeah.
You know, it felt like almost like a legacy kind of thing. So who knows? But as far as like a character specifically that I would turn, one that feels like has to turn is Triple H.
Yeah.
If he's going to be the man in power, you know, from here on out, you know, even you know, kind of like the man behind the scenes, but come out, you know, every now and then like Vince does, you know, it's a lot easier to create better storylines if the guy in power, yeah, is the heel.
He has to show up on a weekly basis for a long time for that to happen.
Right.
Because if he goes for any amount of time and comes back, he's going to get
Triple H cheers.
Triple H's back cheers, yeah.
But, I mean, you know, like now with Vince, every time he comes out, place goes nuts.
He's a face right now.
Well, yeah.
Like,
but even before that, like, he would come on, you know, after that he'll be, like, very heel-like, and eventually he'll get booze or whatever, but... You know, when he first comes out, it's always a big pop.
Right.
So, I don't know.
I would be really interested to see, like, Triple H, Stephanie, power team.
Yeah, well, they kind of did that already, though. You know?
But they weren't in charge.
Oh, yeah, like, they were running Raw.
I mean, they were... I don't know, it feels like maybe it's just because, like, they were younger then. Like, they were... Like, that was like that was
there
a...
Be, there would be a different
that was
take
a two kids in love kind of thing. This is like a...
Two adults. Business. Yeah, who know their business, yeah.
So, I would be interested in that.
I mean, and, I'm okay with Stephanie coming back in some fashion because she was pretty fantastic on camera.
I thought
feel
Stephanie
like
great
that presence is definitely missed.
Yeah, for somebody who, like, both the kids, actually, like, for people who just, you know, got there on a name or got there because, you know, somebody had to play that character.
Right.
Like, they both have done fantastic work for the company over the years.
Absolutely. So. And again, it's one of those things where we miss having at least one of the McMahons on camera.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah,
which, you know, obviously Shane isn't going to be coming back anytime soon. So, it's got to be Stephanie.
I'm okay with Stephanie.
Me too.
My thought for a face turn is Jack Swagger, really, because there's nothing else for him to do as a heel.
Yeah.
There's just his flat out nothing. And basically, you've made him Kurt Angle so far. Make him silly Kurt. Like,
yeah.
Just have him, you know, do that silly stuff. I think it's like.
But then again,
it's not a great master plan.
But then again, silly Kurt is something that Kurt did though when he's with the company. You know, he would make fun of himself a lot of times, or make himself look absurd. You know, I'm just picturing him in a tiny cowboy hat right now.
Yeah. Nothing has ever indicated to me from Swagger's stuff that Swagger has comedic talent in any manner.
Oh God, no.
So, you know, it might be terrible, but throw him in something that is ridiculous enough. If he tag teams with Santino enough. Like,
yeah,
it's a thing where, like, and there's not enough hatred to Swagger to, like, keep him being a heel if you decide to turn him face.
Right. So, I mean, even when he had the championship up against, like, Big Show or something, he kind of felt like the spoiled kid who got whatever he wanted kind of thing. He didn't really hate anyone. He was just like, I had this because I'm me and I deserve it because... You know, I always get what I want kind of thing.
Yeah. Like, you will have to work to turn Miz face.
Yeah.
Like, it will not be an easy turn. And no. I think he does an amazing heel.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
I mean, I'm totally fine with him, but...
I did just have a thought.
Okay.
Of someone that I would turn. I would turn Kofi heel. It's something he's never done. He's been a face the entire time he's been with the company. And he's still in the mid-card, you know? So he could definitely pull the whole, you know, I've worked my butt off this entire time, got nothing. Basically the Archer thing, but without the insanity and imaginary children. And it would just be interesting to see. I think, because, I mean, we all know he has a ton of talent. He has moments where, character-wise, he's pretty awesome. Like, there was one point where Orton was still a heel, and he had a thing against him and Kofi.
Paint on the car?
Paint on the car, exactly. That whole thing with those two was really good and had potential to be something, but it never quite got off the ground. Because it just seemed like there was nothing left to offer. Because at that time, Randy Orton had been a heel basically his entire career, and it wasn't going anywhere. And, you know, he'd done it all. And same thing with Kofi. He'd been a face the entire career, and he's done all on that end, but all except for, you know, winning a major championship.
Yeah.
I feel like that could be the one thing that puts Kofi over the edge. Because something has changed. He's been the same character the entire time, and really hasn't gone anywhere.
I could back that, except it would involve him betraying a tag team partner.
Well, and it could happen down the road after they lose the belt and they go their own ways anyway.
Yeah. I suppose. I don't know.
Trust me, he's been tag team champions with a lot of people. Okay, so it's not that big of a deal.
So. All right, well, I think that about does it for me.
That does it for me.
All right, and so be sure and follow us on Twitter at CR Attire. We tweet every Monday and Sundays when there's something to tweet about on Sundays. We also try for Thursdays and Fridays. Sometimes that doesn't happen.
Most time that doesn't happen.
You know why, TNA. You know why.
And you too, SmackDown. And send any questions, comments, anything you want to hear us talk about on the show, send it to our email at classicringattire@gmail.com. I want hate mail, people. I want it. Give it to me.
We also have a Tumblr, classicringattire.tumblr.com, where you can find old episodes of this podcast as well as many other wrestling shenanigans.
And if you're listening to us through wrestling.insidepulse.com, send us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
All right, until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.